With us today, we have Max Trescott, who just hit me with this manual. It's
a tome, almost.
Oh, my God. It's the size of the New York phone book.
And let's point out, he is the reigning CFI of the year for 2008. Just about to hand over his title, but it's been a wonderful year for you.
I've had a lot of fun. I mean, there are 92,000 CFIs in this country, and I would say that there is nobody as a pilot who's gotten to where they need to be without the help of a CFI. So CFIs are incredibly important, and it's been fun representing them over the last year and just bring a little bit more attention to that. And, of course, goes without saying, I encourage anybody who has any interest in taking their aviation love to the next step, go ahead and become a CFI.
And I'm going to have to take my love to a refresher course next month.
Ruh-roh.
I was going to say, I thought about becoming a CFI, but I don't think it stands for crazed flight instructor.
Well, why not? I mean, there's room for all types of styles.
Yeah.
You might find some crazed pilot students to teach.
Oh, well, trust me, you run into all types. The airport that I used to fly out of had skydivers, and they are very dynamic people.
Well, so those are vertical flyers.
Yes, they are. Even tried it myself once. Well, this is an awesome book. And I noticed that on it you have the Garmin GNS 430 and 530.
You know how many of those have been sold, by the way?
I would say a couple of gazillion.
Yeah, the Garmin just announced it on Monday, 103,000
wow.
430s and 530s have been sold in their lifetime. So that basically means every pilot in the country uses one at some point.
Yeah, no kidding. I've seen several aircraft that have more than one, and It was the first experience I had to a 430. I was picked up at an air show to be ferried to another air show. And, yeah, here, Eddie, you can fly it. And I'm sitting there, oh, look, we got a Garmin 430. And it's cool. I'm watching the little airplane move along, and I'm thinking to myself, why is the one wing heavy? It turned out that it was a little light on the fuel side.
Oh, okay. Well,
but nonetheless, to actually, get to see this stuff in operation is terrific.
Sure.
And to be able to use this stuff.
Oh, well,
it's even better.
Well, I think that's the big challenge. I do a lot of flight instructing when I'm not writing books. And what I've found consistently is, most people will know how to do some of the most rudimentary basic stuff on the other 430s and 530s and other GPSs. But, the pages they don't use frequently, or, there are a lot of folks out there who are just using the Direct 2 key, don't know how to use flight plans, and therefore are just going from, where they are now to one point. So basically the new book, Max Trescott's GPS and WAAS Instrument Flying Handbook, is everything from A to Z that people need to know from, a standpoint of using GPS, both from a VFR standpoint, but particularly for IFR, because that's where you can really get yourself in trouble if you're, stuck in the clouds wondering which button to push.
Well, I have a friend of mine who's going to be here, and we're going to interview him on Friday,
mm-hmm.
who is a charter pilot, and I had the great privilege of ferrying with him a Cicada, a TBM 700,
oh, sure, right.
mm-hmm. up to Groton, Connecticut,
yep.
and watching him twiddle buttons and push things and enter it. I mean, it was literally like watching a musician play a keyboard, because it was just click, click, push, push, click, click. And the scary part to me was the fact that the technology was just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
This airplane, and I asked him, I said, Eric, when did we go on autopilot? He says, as soon as I pulled the wheels up, never felt the transition.
Sure.
The airplane just motored right along, and he was doing essentially systems management. He entered the entire flight plan, which really wasn't that significant, but, there was like six waypoints in there, and all we did was we just listened to ATC when they cleared us to the next one, or if they cleared us direct to another one further up the pike. He just pushed the buttons, twiddled the knobs, and boom, the airplane put us there.
And the amazing thing is, people, even with older aircraft, can put in the kinds of equipment at relatively low cost that allows them to get that kind of capability. So, for example, I just reviewed the Aspen Avionics EFD 1000, a month ago, and published that on my blog. And, therefore, under $10,000, well, a little more with installation, you can take a much older aircraft and have a lot of this capability added to it. So I think the real benefit of this is that if you're spending, if you're letting the system do the mundane task of keeping the wings level, then that means you free up all those brain cycles to do the important things, to think about, should I be considering an alternate? What's the weather at my destination? Has the fuel changed? Are the winds changed? And those are the important kinds of things that get pilots into trouble. So I think anything that assists us from taking care of the mundane task is a huge benefit.
And
I'm a little close to the microphone there,
yeah.
So I'm headbutting it a little bit. A couple of years ago, I'm flying for a company that has a G2,
okay.
and we hired a fellow who had just retired from United Airlines in a 777, And one of the terms that he used a lot, which I think applies to what you basically are talking about in this book, is that he gets back in the G2, which he hadn't been typed in since so the early 70s or mid-70s, and he says, I want to spend a little more time with the knobology mm-hmm. of this airplane.
Yeah, exactly. Really.
And with, I would point out, like, the North Star, the early GPS, it was all knobs, and, inner knob, outer knob, and there's two, right. One on each mm-hmm. side. And there's lots of knobs and buttons and everything on these GPSs that have multiple functions mm-hmm. and that can be really challenging for some people.
And I think that's changing the model that we're going to be using going forward. I think it means that people are going to have to do more study between flights, particularly if they're not flying frequently, just to stay current. And the best story I heard of this, yesterday I was talking to Jack Pelton, CEO of Cessna, first time that we'd actually ever met before. And he said, Max, I keep your G1000 book, not this one, but the first one, right by my bedside. And I thought, you need something to put him to sleep at night, right?
Yeah.
But he said, I spend about 300 hours a year in usually the Citation 10 flying back and forth to Washington. And when I jump into my airplane, the 206, I don't always remember, all the buttons for the G1000. So he uses that as a way to just kind of, as he's getting ready to fall asleep, kind of review a couple chapters and things like that. And I think, honestly, that is the model going forward for this complex kind of avionics, unless things become revolutionary and suddenly they're so intuitively obvious that everybody knows how to operate them. But the problem is, I think the word intuitively obvious means it made sense to the guy that designed it. It doesn't necessarily make sense to anybody else who
how
has to use it.
How can you not understand this? I don't know.
It was obvious to me.
Yeah, this guy's been playing with it for 10 years, and we're looking at it for the first time.
Right.
And the glass cockpits and everything keep getting more and more sophisticated to the point where flying the airplane is actually the easy part now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're looking at, as Afterburner Al said, all the knobology on the panel, and you're scratching your head saying, okay, what's next?
Yep.
I've been, in the past 3-4 years, I've been typed in several different jet aircraft, and we spend, in the ground school alone, it's at least a day on the avionics. I'm not typed in a G4, but I've heard that the avionics alone is 1 week of the course.
And that makes a lot of sense. When I talk to folks that go to pick up new aircraft these days, they may spend 3 days in factory training, and sometimes that's not enough for them to really fully understand the...
Aeroshell going out.
That's great.
And that was a P-51 Mustang, and I guarantee you that all of these guys have got a GPS on boards sometime on their cross-country flights. It's really amazing. And the thing that blew me away... Embry-Riddle was out here a couple years ago with the G1000 system in the 172s, and I'm scratching my head thinking, why are they putting such a sophisticated avionics system into such a simple aircraft? And then it dawned on me. It's because what they're doing is they're training mm-hmm. the pilots how to use this stuff while they're in flight. They get started, they get trained on it early, so that when they translate to the heavier iron, they know it already, and they can focus on flying the aircraft.
No question. It makes it a really simple transition. And, we're talking about glass cockpit aircraft. Most people tend to think of that as, just those brand new things that have been out for the last couple of years and so on. But in essence, anybody who's got a Garmin 430 or 530 or 480 or something like that, in their airplane, has essentially a glass cockpit aircraft, because you've got so much capability in these, and being able to operate them is critical. For example, in the book, I've got a number of different reports from the NASA reporting system, as well as NTSB reports, and you would be shocked, maybe not shocked, at the number of people who either had accidents because, they're doing wrong things with their GPS, or filed NTSB reports on themselves, in essence, saying, man, I really almost got myself into big trouble here.
Yeah. Well, the thing of it is, I love the glass cockpits, and anybody that's got the cash, mm-hmm. when you're building your home-built aircraft, it's very easy to go and put a glass cockpit in it.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Some of the panel displays from some of the companies that are here on exhibition, they're stunning.
Yep.
I saw a panel for an RV-10.
Mm-hmm.
Holy mackerel, it's got to cost half the price of the national debt, but wow, what a panel. This thing, it literally had everything in it you can imagine, including a DVD player.
Sure.
Which,
if you're flying long distances across the country, I mean, nothing beats listening to XM radio or having some music in the cockpit.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I got to tell you, once you cross the Rockies, it's a long ways to where you see airports. I was flying over, not to pick on Wyoming, but the last month I was flying over Wyoming with a client in his aircraft, and I punched in nearest airport, and it was 50 miles away.
Oh, that's, you're going to have to stretch that glide a little bit, I
exactly.
think.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, it's really good that you've got this handbook out, because you know, I know how to turn it on, and that's about it. I'm lost.
Right.
And of course, they try to duplicate the functions in a lot of the Microsoft Flight Simulators, too. But
sure.
It's nothing like getting out there and getting on the real thing.
Right. Well, and the other thing that can help folks, you know, if they don't necessarily have a copy of the book, is download some of the simulators from Garmin, use them on their computer to practice and so on. So
I'm sure that there are other people out there with plenty of information on how to use this stuff, including you and this terrific book. Where can we get this book?
Well, Max Truscott's GPS and WAS Instrument Flying Handbook is available at Oshkosh.
Yes.
Only at pilotmall.com, which is the big tent next to the Hangar D, and just behind the food court. And I'll be signing books again there on Thursday.
Awesome.
I was doing that yesterday. Had a lot of folks come by. And if for some reason, they're not able to pick it up here, they can just call the 800 number, 800-247-6553, and ask for Max Truscott's brand new GPS and WAS Instrument Flying Handbook.
And I'm sure that they'll be very happy to kick it into the airmail and get it right to you.
Oh, yeah. And they're in stock right now, even though it came off press just 1 week ago.
Wow. This is like brand new. The ink's not even dry.
Go ahead.
Sweet.
Open the pages.
Wait a minute.
Yep, exactly.
Yep, it's got that new book smell.
I love it.
Max, thanks for coming out there,
buddy. Hey, Fast Eddie, it's always fun talking to you guys at EAA Radio. If for no other reason, you have the best view of the entire field.
Well, not only that, but we're caffeine-deprived this morning. That helps, too. Max, thank you for coming out.
My pleasure. Good to see you.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and you're listening at AM 1210, FM 93.1, and on the World Wide Web at EAARadio.org.